listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. Happy Tuesday. More like happy freezing day. Sounds more like it. Guys, I'm so glad you could join me this evening. You remember last week we talked about the young man that was now a grown man who's been, you know, going through some tough times and trying to regroup his life after being adopted into a family of which he thought was a loving home because he came from a home of abuse. And moving forward, he thought that he would be in a better position. He left as a young kid, as a young man, having to face different obstacles in his life. But, you know, tables turn sometimes for a lot of people, you know, and you just never know where you'll end up in those particular situations. And sometimes the system has to make a call on if they're going to go forward. Are they going to leave this kid with relatives, or are they going to put this kid, you know, in the system? And for some kids, it works out well. And for some kids, it does not work out well. And this young man, his name is Messiah. And Messiah has gone through a tragical part of the umbrella system that we always talk about, and how you don't want to fall victim to that system of really the mafia. I would say it's like a mafia system because, you know, you go in and you don't play by the rules, you don't get out, and, you know, it could lead to very harmful situations. So, you know, he's going to call in today to discuss some of the things that he had to go through and some of the things that, you know, we spoke of, you know, and I'm hoping that he can get through the session, guys, because, you know, it's very hard sometimes for a grown man to recant their past, you know, and live their truth. And you sit back and you say, why is this person so broken? You know, someone that you just meet, time goes on, you're like, wow, this is a broken person. And you feel like, you know, how could I help this person? But this is like a thorn, you know, that's forever embedded in their skin of abuse. And I would never condone abuse upon a child. I would never look at that as a great thing for a child to experience. And there are some mothers out there that, listen, they suffer from mental illness, so they really don't know what they're doing and who they're doing it to is the problem. So, you know, you got to look at it as either they're going to use the kid for a dollar sign and they're going to mistreat it, or they're going to get the cash. Let's talk to Messiah. He's on now. Hey, Messiah, how are you?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm so glad that you could join us this evening. I wanted to talk to you because I told my listeners a little bit about you last week and some of the things that we discussed, but I wanted to talk to you about, you know, your childhood and, you know, where you came from. So if you can just tell me, like, growing up, I would say about, well, let me ask you this. What year did you get into the foster system? Or what, at what age?
At 3 years old, 1973.
At 3 years old. So at 3 years old, like, I don't know if you can remember that, but, like, where were you at that time? Do you remember where you were or who had you?
At the time, I was with the lady who gave birth to me. But then after that, it all went blank. And it was a journey of new faces after that. I didn't meet old faces ever again.
Okay, so you do know your biological mom, right?
I knew her in memory, but I never knew her in essence. I never knew her as far as her memory.
Do you remember your biological dad?
I didn't remember him at all. I just remembered the physical, a memory like a silhouette. I remembered a person, but I didn't remember him neither.
So let's fast forward.
When you do use those, memory is so limited.
Right. So let's fast forward you a little bit to you. At one point in time, you were of the age where you could remember certain things. And do you remember being in a foster home and getting picked out of a group of maybe a lot of kids and like, hey, I want that kid, or they placed you with a good family at some point?
Never. Never. What happened is I wind up going place to place like emergency. So you go from people to people, stranger to stranger. But now you're like from check to check. You don't realize you're a check. And now each one of these people have no emotional connection to you. You're just a dollar sign. So now you wind up becoming numb because the people is numb to you. So you don't even realize that you're adopting these ways around these new strangers, because you already came from people who already had trouble mentally or emotionally. They was dead themselves.
So do you remember at what time of your life that you were placed with your adoptive mother?
I remember it might have been around elementary school.
And how was
it? It was around elementary school.
So she was actually your foster mother in the beginning, right?
Yes.
So your foster mother became your adopted mother.
She became on paper, yes.
Okay. So how was that relationship after, you know, now you're with this family and you see your life going forward and you're happy at this point? How was it being a foster kid and then having her adopt you as, you know, one of her own?
Well, truthfully, I never was accepted, and I knew I never belonged. So now, because I knew I never belonged, I never could be accepted. So I was only there for a limited time, because I knew one way or another I couldn't be a man around this type of person, and I needed a man to show me a man. And this person was demasculating me. They was making me feel like I was a boy. Or less than even that. So I knew this person couldn't be nothing to me, another stranger trying to beat me down.
So did you experience being abused by this individual that adopted you?
Yes.
Was it like mental break, you know? Because sometimes people can yell and call names. Was it that type of...
Well, it was more to me, I was into words more so anyway. So if it was verbal, I couldn't tell. I didn't care about that. It was more so physical, because now I'm dealing with strangers, and these strangers is trying to break me into their way of being, not accepting me for the way I came.
Right. So did that include like some form of spankings?
Well, It started with, if I'm not mistaken, it went straight to the extension cord, I should say. We skipped the belt because I was already into a tough cookie. So we went straight to the extension cord. And from the extension cord, that wasn't phasing me. So from the extension cord, it went to, you know, a piece of wood. And that piece of wood, then the piece of wood, when that didn't work, they would beat me with the wood and then make me take a cold shower. And to the point I was standing in the shower that was cold, to the water eventually got hot. But I didn't realize it was making me hot inside, even though the water was cold on the outside.
So would you say like this adoptive parent maybe was abusing you physically?
At the time, I couldn't tell, because I came from people who didn't care about me. So when you come from people that don't care about you, really can't tell, because it's like almost no different. Just one is physical and one is more neglect. So it's like, what the fuck is this? You really can't tell. The brain, but the brain can't comprehend what's going on yet.
Right. So how did you, like, you never thought to tell anybody, like, hey, I'm being abused by this person?
To be honest, once they gave me a chance to leave, basically, like, yo, if you can't listen to my rules, you could get the fuck out. That was the best invitation of my lifetime, because it was either them or the streets. And I knew I could take my chance with strangers on the streets, because I've been in the street behind closed doors by strangers. So I figured I'd rather go back to the realm where at least I know people going to kill me or they going to help me. But behind closed doors, I ain't see no help. So I decided to take all my chances and take all my violence that people taught me behind closed doors. And I wind up projecting them on the strangers that I met on the streets.
So how old were you when you left that home?
I had to be in junior high school. I was in high school yet, because I left in junior high school, and in New York, I know I wasn't 14, because in you have to go to high school at 14, so I had to go get these people to register me back in school. So I remember it was before I was in high school.
So this mother that actually took you in, and, you know, basically when they adopt you, they take an oath to say that they're going to love you and care for you. So what about her ever reporting, you know, he's missing?
Well, I was happy she never did that, to be honest, because growing up in the projects, I was growing up with the next group of, they would call them criminals, I would call them gangsters. So I seen the next wave of people trying to get that money, and their family didn't care about them, and I ain't had people that care about me. So we wind up only learning to care about that money, and very few even know how to care about each other. So it was only that money, chasing that goddamn money that drove you insane. So that's all I wind up knowing.
So this mother that you thought you were in good care with, did you see any of this, like, coming beforehand? Like, before she actually said, hey, I love this kid, I want to adopt him? Or it was more like the system just said, hey, these are your options with this kid. And she basically just said, I'd rather have the check, so I'll take this kid in as a permanent fixture.
Well, it basically is a fixture. Basically is a fixture, because there's no bond, there's no connection. It's just wordplay, playing words. So when there's no connection, it's like meeting somebody at the job. You see them every day, don't mean you have a connection with them.
Right.
So I didn't know these people. They didn't know me. So I wasn't even around long enough, I guess, because they had their internal problems. And whatever trouble I came with, I just couldn't. I never felt like I belonged. So once I seen I didn't belong, first chance I had, I knew the world to accept me. The world to accept anybody who don't nobody care about. So I went back to where people don't care about you.
You know, in some situations, you know, when people adopt children that are not their own, you know, some people can be sexual predators. Did you think at any time that maybe she could have been a sexual predator?
It never dawned on me, because I only seen murder. I only seen, really, to be honest, I only seen I wanted to murder. I seen blood, I seen red, I seen, I'ma give my pain. I really couldn't at the time. I seen certain behavior as far as, but many people walk around with their bras and panties. Many people walked around. I don't know if this is what people supposed to do or not, because I'm not their relative.
So you probably thought that that was normal?
course.
So is there any time, like, because sometimes people, you know, of being an adult age and they are predators, they kind of draw the child into, like, secluded places, like a bathroom, you know, the attic, the basement. So did you ever experience anything dealing with any of those places in the household?
Well, there was a time where the person would ask me to come up in there and hand them the towel, and went from the passing them a towel to washing their back. But at the time, I thought that was normal because it never went no further. But I just looked at it like that's what people do, because these people ain't my family, and then my own family ain't give a fuck. So I thought this was where I was supposed to go, because somebody tell you what to do when you're young, you fucking just do it.
So I take it that this mother that adopted you had other children in the home at the time?
Well, they was all chasing their dreams by then. So it wasn't like they was really there, but they was there, but not really there.
And how was your relationship with them?
Good question. That's a good question. That's heavy. That's a good question. It's like it's invisible. It's invisible. It's invisible. It's no connection. And only reason I know the best way I can explain it, because guess they don't know me. And the lifestyle that I live, they don't know me. And anytime I ever tried through error or went through trials and tribulations, I could never say that these people would be in my corner. So it's hard to say that these people would be, I consider them family or they consider me family, because only time you consider people family is those who go through hard times with you. So I don't know. I was still just an adopted person who carried a name, as far as I'm concerned.
And do you still carry that name today?
I don't use the name, but for white people purposes, they need that plantation name. So, but to anybody who know me, I don't govern under that name. They don't even address me in that way. That name is a dead name. It had no life to me.
So when this mother was abusing you, like, did you ever think about how could I maybe retaliate, like, and get her back? Did you ever think about, like, bad thoughts?
Well, I definitely was going to take her up off this earth. And how I know, because one day when I was young and this lady tried to torture me, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out, am I supposed to defend myself or is somebody going to die? I'm going to die, this lady going to die. So at that time, I wind up taking it to the next level. I said, I'm going to poison this bitch. This bitch got to die. I got to find a way to get off this earth, because ain't nobody going to ever put their hands on me again. So I wind up motherfucking going and try to get this motherfucking boric acid and see if I could make a mixture. But this motherfucking person was so goddamn dark inside, they drunk that motherfucker like that shit was just tea.
So
from that,
she drank the boric acid, but she didn't die? She didn't even get sick?
I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I'm going to kill this motherfucker, because ain't nobody ever going to put their hands on me like this again.
So was that your first attempt to try to, like, get her out?
That was the first time. That was the first attempt. And after that was really the last time, because I was out of there. I was out of there after that. And I just took my pain out on all these motherfuckers in the streets who wanted to take their pain on out on me in prison. Wherever I done went, Lewisburg, any federal prison, state prison, I wind up battling the system in a different way. So it's like I was came into the system and already went to the system, battling the system within the system.
So as an adult now, how are you living your life today after all of this abuse, and you do have children? Like, how are you living your life today and being a good role model to your children despite what you've been through?
Excellent question. I realize I try to do the best I can by example, not to be who I used to be with violence. So I try to go against who I used to become a better person. It's like the me going against my own darkness to see some light. So I try to focus more on the light, but people play so many games with words that they remind me of all the people that tried to bring me darkness when I was young. So even with my kids, I try to do the best I can to be a light to them by example, by showing respect, by trying to dominate them mentally or emotionally, and give them a choice. Now, the choice with an option, of course, limited option, but at least they stay within these choices. As long as they make these choices, they're showing me they're becoming their own person.
So being as though you were a child of the system, it sounds like your children were never put in that position to share that bad situation that you went through. It seems like your kids have always been a part of your life.
I wish. I've been open and a part of theirs, but I didn't realize history repeat itself. I wound up meeting females who my kids became a check to. When they became a check, they wind up battling me for, I don't know, they was battling me to be the man, like my foster mother. So I realized I'm in trouble again. This is like a replica of this memory where this was always a battle for me to be just a man, not rich or poor. When you're young, I need to be a man before I become anything else. That was important to me.
So how do you feel today, looking back at everything you've been through and having to actually bump heads with this woman that abused you as a child? Like, have you ran into her? Have you said anything to her?
Well, not too long ago, I bumped into her, and I wound up realizing something when I saw her. I realized that, I guess in my lifetime, because I ain't never seen nobody cry for me, I made so many mothers fucking cry. I made so many motherfucking mothers cry that when I saw the lady, I felt sorry for her, because out of all the people that was crying for their son, I got to see, I don't remember this lady crying for me. So I felt sorry for her.
Do you think that she was maybe holding on to you for some particular reason besides a check?
Could have been, but at the time I was being physical. I was being mistreated as far as being mistreated. So I couldn't tell. I wouldn't have been able to like home in on it 100%. Because these people reminded me of all the other people who didn't care about me.
Well, now that you're of an adult age, did you ever think like maybe she was abusing her own children at some point in time? And you were just like one added to the group?
She had to be, because it's a pattern and nothing is new under the sun. So now that I'm an adult, looking back and reflecting upon this energy, it had to be. It had to be. Nothing new under the sun, I'm sure. No. Because when I bumped into these people years later. And when I bumped into these people, I got to see that the nephews in them is like a boy, they overgrown children. They lack experience. They just like a robot. So I'm so grateful, because it showed me to have compassion. It showed me what I was missing and what I was shown to have compassion for strangers and other people. That's what I guess I was missing in life. So as I went to prison and battled other soldiers in prison and met other females who were soldiers and read soldiers as a father, I guess I was always battling for respect just like them. So once I realized, you know, all those people was hurting me because they was already hurting people, or they was hurting themselves, so they tried to hurt me because I couldn't defend myself or anybody else at that time. So I decided to only battle people who could defend themselves. And I wound up getting carried away with it. Shootouts with police. Fucking shit got out of control.
So let me ask you about your relationships going forward in your life. Like, did you ever, because sometimes people look, you know, especially men, they have a habit of looking at a woman as their mother. Like, I'm going to marry her because she reminds me of my mother. Have you ever looked at a woman and said, you remind me of my adopted mother?
I couldn't put that inside my consciousness or my subconsciousness if I wanted to, because I never wanted somebody who didn't show me compassion. I needed softness at the time, because the world is already hard. So because they never showed me softness, and I only met females who was hard. So I wound up only dealing with females who was hard. Females who were soft to me, I thought they was playing games. I thought they were setting me up for a trap. I only dealt with people who sleep with rocks. Their heart was like a rock. And so was I.
And how are you now today? Are you like a marshmallow, a huggable guy? You feel like, you know, I'm the pillow that someone can hold at night? Or are you still like that solid, cold piece of ice that just won't break?
Excellent goddamn question. Back to back. It humbled me. It did something to me that I can't put into words. So since the loss of these two boys, it did something to me. So I definitely can't be that no more. Or I would have taken a life, because people play too much. They ain't going to go against the police, so they'll go against a motherfucker who ain't playing. There's people out here who ain't playing. So I'm just one of them people who try to stay away from people as much as I can, because I'm not fucking playing. I'm not being phony. I'm not no actor. I've never been a kiss ass. People will say you're a criminal. People will say you are what you are. But long as I'm not fake, I can die with that, because that's what I'm going to live by.
But it seems like our conversation today has taken some pressure off of your chest. It seems like you've gotten to the stage in your life where you accepted some things and you're just happy with you now. Are you really happy with you now?
To be honest, I'm more at peace. I would use that term of expression. I'm a little more at peace than I ever was, because I realize it's sometimes more better to help other people. Before, I couldn't tell. Do I help you or do I hurt you? Do I see you as a dollar sign and a thing, or do I see you as a human being and a person? So it was kind of hard to see people, because once your ass ain't about your word, I'm supposed to punish you. That's all I know. So it's like a battle, like a person. I never was on drugs. I never really even drank. I was sipping and shit, but that I took my pain out on a different way. You helping me understand that I've been disconnected to this emotional part. It's been more mental journey for me. And speaking to you, it's kind of reminded me of this emotional shit that I forgot about.
Well, it seems like you are a great father to your children, and that speaks in volumes, especially after what you've been through, because you're not the guy that's going to abuse your children, because you know the damage that it left you with and the harshness of moving forward in your life. So how is your relationship today with women? Like, are you married? Are you with a significant other? Like, how is that relationship today?
That's an excellent question. Excellent question. I wind up leaving New York City because I could not find peace up there. So I wind up coming to where I'm at as we speak. And I met a sister some time ago that I've been mentally trying to make the connection, because that's important to me. What's important to her at the time was the emotional connection. Now, I wind up having a son up here by somebody, but there's no mental or emotional connection. But yet I stick around because I know what it was for people to give up on you and be abandoned. So I stick around because I know he needs somebody to be there for him no matter what. So I stick around. But the person that I've been trying to build with and connect with, we have came a long way. We came a long way where I share more of the mental and try to open up on the emotional level. But that only could come as far as how much do the person trust, because that's important to me, not money.
Right. So would you say that you have a good relationship with your child's mother for the sake of your child?
Well, I've learned to humble myself so that way I can help develop him and help show him to learn from my mistakes. But my other seeds, my other son is a bitch-ass nigga. He's a bitch-ass nigga. He's a mama's boy. He went to challenge me, emotional bitch-ass nigga. And I'm heartbroken because I stayed alive and out of prison so we could connect when he's no longer a boy. But he didn't come to show me what kind of son he is, and he came to show me what kind of man he is. So he came to challenge me like his mother used to. And I didn't understand his behavior. This son of a bitch tried to get me locked up knowing I got 3 felonies. He tried to do a emotional, feminine move on me. I couldn't believe it. I was going to take him off this planet, to be honest with you. But I'm learning compassion out of Adam. But I have to learn that you don't try to hurt the people you care for. So I try to keep this in my mind.
And I'm glad that you are that way. I commend you on that, because nowadays you're dealing with a whole different type of entitled generation of kids where they believe that it's their way or no way. So I commend you for taking a different route on molding him and showing him something different, because a lot of kids want you to give them the reaction that they're anticipating because they want to take on the challenge of challenging their parents. And I'm glad that, you know, you are the type of dad that you've been through some things, and it still does not define you as a man, where you can say, listen, I still have other children that I have to take care of, show guidance, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because at one time, you were that little boy, and you wouldn't want anyone like that mother being, you know, with that type of behavior towards any kid that you're involved with today. You know, and it's a sad thing that you had to go through that, you know, and especially when this system is supposed to be set up as not just a check, but you're supposed to be someone that they're going to love unconditionally, you know, and not abuse you, because that's where you came from. And you showing not only yourself, but other people who you think are not looking, that you are better than what they gave you credit for. It speaks in volumes of who you are today and who you have become. Because it takes a real man, not a boy, but a real man to get on the air and say, this is who I used to be, but this is me now. And you've come a long way. You've put yourself in many situations that could have gone left, and other people have brought you situations that could have gone left. You took it upon yourself to say, I'm out of here, New York. I see better for me. And I really want to say, I commend you on that. You know, it takes a
You know where this came from, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we're speaking on this, because I only know the hard way. The hard way became easy. Darkness became light. It's what I know. It became to the point that I thought I was safe in prison. Because in jail, I ain't never been no homo lover. I ain't into none of that. But in prison, I know people don't play with you, and you got to be about your word or you're going to die up in there. Out here, people don't seem to care about their word. It's more a material image and what you got. And I'm looking at people's character. I'm looking at who the fuck you are. I'm not looking at what you got. I ain't give a fuck about that shit. Looking at who you are. I take care. I like money. I take care of shit. But I won't let money make me. I've always determined to let make the money. So when I meet people, I meet so people where the money make them. And they remind me of food. They remind me of a knockoff motherfucker. So I try to stay away from these people so I can be the father this time. And not be on my old habits of punishing people who pretend. I won't get to be a father. So it's like a battle, because I care about being a father and help developing this better human being. So when I leave this planet, Nisa felt like I gave back some good.
Messiah, let me ask you, because child cases, you know, child abuse cases nationwide, worldwide, there's no statute of limitations on these type of cases under federal law. And I just wanted to ask you if, let's say, someone from the Federal Bureau of Investigation came to you and said, hey, we'd like to arrest this person that abused you. Would you take it that far?
Because I've always been on my soldier shit, I can never cooperate. My ex-wife put me in a situation with the FBI, and they came at me. And I couldn't even tell, even if it was for her. I couldn't help. I can't go to the very people who's kicking us and ask for help. I can't go to the police who's killing us and ask for help. Even motherfucker shot me. Motherfucker tried to shoot me, stab me, break in my crib, steal from me. I never go to the police. I had called the police one time in my life because motherfucker hit my new car. And somebody told me I got insurance, and that's the smart thing to do for coverage. Other than that, I just don't fuck with the police. I don't even go for them. My baby moms want to take me for child support when I'm trying to take care of the kid. Fuck it, take me. I'm not about to go to the white man and ask for no goddamn help. So as a soldier, I would decline working with the police ever.
So it's more like karma will get her one day.
Yes, I let that, because shit, I couldn't imagine sitting there asking the very motherfucker kicking me for help ever.
Well, that
they the
sense.
One who got me in this goddamn situation. It's sister meaning. So it's hard to ask the people who helped fuck my journey up and never have a support. It was always more a gun, money, and willpower. And I met so many soldiers where they was willing to risk their life because my life is a bet. We would bet our life, never money. So when your life is on the line, it's only life or death. So when you walk that razor's edge, that wind up becoming a way of life.
Right. So Messiah, I'd like to say thank you for coming on the show today. And I would definitely like to have you back on because there was hundreds of questions popping up people want answers to. And I would like to invite you back to the show to get some clarity from people that have questions. Is that okay with you?
After I wave my tears away, because you done struck a chord in me. So it would be okay with me because you these are good tears. You help me remember because of I still live.
And one or two comments, but someone sent me a message to give you, and they would like you to know that they're glad that you can be a real man. And I thought I would share that with you because they kept sending the message back to back, back to back. And I'd like to thank you for coming on our show today, and I look forward to having you back on again.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and you have a great night.
Good night.
Good night. Guys, listen. Mind blowing. Great guy. Great interpersonal skills. He's been through a lot. You know, extension cords, 2x4s. That's a lot to absorb as a child, you know, and not even getting into high school yet. We're talking elementary. I can't even fathom, you know, seeing someone. I mean, you know, I don't know, and I'll tell you this much. I'm guilty, and I will say this again and again and again. And I owe my kids, myself, an apology because I never knew anything about Black history. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. It's because my husband, you know, started telling me about Black history because I didn't grow up in a household to know about Black history. I grew up in a Dominican household, and it was more Santa Maria than Kunta Kinte and Harriet Tubman. If you ask me any questions about anything that has to do with anything Black, American, I have no idea. And I had to ask my children, do you feel guilty or are you even mad at me because I have not shared that part of life with you? And their fathers are African American. And I felt as though I left that responsibility for them to do because I know nothing about the Underground Railroad. I only know what I learned in school, but as far as history goes, and history is deep, I have no idea of, you know, anything dealing with Black history. I just don't know it. So I am guilty of not sharing whatever I knew. It could have been very minute to me because it didn't play a major part in my life at that time. So I didn't find a way to share this with my children. My English is a lot better than my family members. And I'll tell you why. Because at a very young age, my mother said, you're going to go to speech school. Because her dreams for me was to be a nurse. And she said, to be a nurse, you must speak proper English. And you must understand certain things. And that didn't work out too well. My life took a different path. And I decided to follow the legal route of being a happy graduate of law school. So I'll say that. But to sum it up, I have never, ever seen or heard of anybody getting beaten with an electrical cord. Like, I can't even picture that in my mind. More or less a 2x4. And remember, in those days, they didn't have that, you know, system of compassion. They had the system of, you're the next welcoming check to the block. And this is what it's being used as. And unfortunately, it's being used with the foster parents. It's being used with the family members. It's being used with people who have the kids in kinship. You're just a dollar sign. You're not being well taken care of. Your hair is not combed. Your clothes are not neat. You smell terrible. You need to see a dentist. You're not properly educated. You know, it's a very sad thing that goes on in that system. But I would, you know, back to Black history, I've seen that stuff now as an adult and couldn't picture it in my mind, because I'm like, you have to be crazy to be doing that to somebody, you know? And these people with African-Americans, they would take the beating, you know? And where I'm from and the Dominican Republic, if you attempt to beat someone with a cord, they will probably beat you back. You know, I don't know about those days, but I'm saying for the new generation, he's in his 50s. I can't even fathom someone hitting someone with a 2x4 that is a child who cannot defend themselves. So maybe he doesn't want to go the federal route, but there is a thing that's called karma, and it will come back to get you. It's just his arms were not long enough to reach her at his age. You know, he tried the poisoning, and he finally said, hey, I got to get out of here. You know, and this is a man that's hurt. He has a lot of hurt inside. You know, it's buried down deep inside. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to speak with him and get to know him as a person, because despite what he's been through, he is what they call a reformed man. He reformed his life to being who he is today. And I'm very proud to say I had Messiah, the abused young boy to the now grown man, on my show. And guys, I got to tell you, we've had a great, great time this evening. And unfortunately, we're winding down the clock. And I'd like to let you know, there's a case we're going to be talking about. And I will see if I can get this gentleman on the line, because he's currently incarcerated. I will find out if I'm able to get him to call in. He is currently incarcerated. He actually is incarcerated because he tried to defend himself from a guy that was pretending to be him, pretending to, like, you know, live in his community. And when this guy would go away on business trips or away to see his mom, he would actually come back, and people were like wondering, like his neighbors, like, who is this guy? Long story short, this is a very huge case. You guys got to tune in next week. We have over 9.4 million listeners on today. I'd like to see more of you come back next week. It's going to be a really great show. Thanks for logging on this evening. Tommy Torres signing off. See you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.